podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And welcome to the third edition of the LFC Transfer Room podcast, and I'm Phil Dindex. Today we look at Southampton and the Netherlands national team centre-back, Virgil van Dijk. Once again, we'll be looking into the reliability of the rumour, and giving a statistical insight into what he could offer the club. As ever, you're with me, Rob Rogers, and my co-host and colleague at LFC Transfer Room, Dan.
Hi there.
And our guests, the respected journalist and writer, Sam Tai.
Hello.
And the popular Liverpool writer and fellow fan, Joel Rabinovitz.
Hiya.
Okay then, so let's get started and find out where the original rumours began that linked Virgil van Dijk to Liverpool.
So we usually look at how reliable the transfer rumour is at this part of the show, but it's pretty certain Liverpool want Virgil van Dijk. Looking at the history of the rumour, the first time it was mentioned in any well-known press was from The Express, and they said that Liverpool were lining up a double swoop for Virgil van Dijk and a young fullback who had been playing for Southampton, mostly in the Europa League, Sam Queen. They said we'd be paying £40 million for him, and that was in The Express. I don't think the Sam McQueen thing was real, even though I'd heard us link with him before, but that was on the 21st of November 2016. 3 days later, and the Mirror actually picked up on a story that Man United and Liverpool were the main rivals in the pursuit of Virgil van Dijk, and that was supposed to be a transfer in January, and it was the Mirror who picked up on that one. A few days later, the Mirror actually said on the 3rd of December that Everton had joined Liverpool in the race to sign Virgil van Dijk, and they said that he had a buyout clause set at £25 million. And even though the release clause wasn't true, it's certain that there is a lot of interest from Liverpool and van Dijk. For the summer, the Echo have identified him as somebody that Liverpool really want and a top target centre-back. The likes of James Pearce, Melissa Reddy, Paul Joyce have all said that Liverpool want him. There was a point earlier in the summer that it seemed like he was certain to join Liverpool, but unfortunately recent reports have said that Man City may just outbid Liverpool and offer more wages than we seem to be able to. But just tonight in the Echo, it says that Liverpool will match any bid put forward by Man City or Chelsea. Really, we know that this link is reliable. I think Van Dijk would probably like to join Liverpool, but Man City and Chelsea are also exciting prospects. Interestingly, Brendan Rodgers came out in an interview earlier this year that actually said that he was interested in Virgil van Dijk when he was at Celtic before he went to Southampton, which is interesting. We weren't linked at the time. And I'm not sure if he would have been the exact same player that he's been allowed to become, but that's certainly worth noting. But Dan, what have you got for us?
It's no secret that van Dijk has attracted a fair bit of attention, especially since moving to the Premier League. So, who is interested in the player other than Liverpool, Sam?
It looks like three major clubs in the Premier League have shown or signalled their interest in van Dijk. City is one of them that has been mentioned. Chelsea certainly have made him one of their top two or three targets for the summer, and they're really looking to go big on two or three guys, and he is one of them. And obviously Liverpool, which we've heard plenty of already. So, it really just speaks to how good he is, because that's three of the top four have all taken serious interest in him, which is represented in his play. He's very, very good. We know that. And the fact that the top teams in the Premier League are recognising that shouldn't really be a surprise.
With Chelsea, and most notably with recent reports, Man City, both rivaling our interest in van Dijk, what's the general feeling from Liverpool fans? Do you get, Joel? Is it positive?
There's a piece that came out on the Mirror, I think it was today or last night, saying that Man City have apparently offered van Dijk £200k a week, and that he looks to be heading there to join Guardiola. I'm a little bit sceptical about this. The Mirror are a bit hit and miss with their transfer stories. The Echo have actually just come out this morning saying that Liverpool are very much still in a hunt for van Dijk. So I wouldn't take that story about Man City as anything concrete just now. I think, in general, there's there's kind of cautious optimism, I think. I don't think Liverpool fans are concerned about Klopp's ability to convince the player about joining Liverpool in terms of the project and what he could offer here. Obviously, he'd be a first-choice player straight away. There's no doubt about that. I think where there's a bit of concern is around FSG and the owners. Will they compete with the likes of Chelsea and Man City to pay the transfer fee and also the wages to convince the player? Because obviously, those two clubs have got just as much, if not more money than Liverpool to offer the player. So it's a massive one for FSG because they've made quite public that Van Dijk is a number one target for Liverpool this summer. So in terms of kind of the fans and not wanting to let the fans down, really, because once you make clear that a player like that is your priority, you don't really want to be seen to missing out to your close rivals. So I think, yeah, the transfer fee, I think reports so far suggest that we'll have no problem paying that, whether it's 50 million, 60 million. It's going to take something around that to get him for Southampton. I think where it's going to come down to is the wages, whether we can offer something which will tempt him to come here over Man City or Chelsea. Personally, I'm quietly confident we can get the deal done. I wouldn't be surprised if we went to Man City, but I just think there's something at Liverpool at the moment with Klopp and the fact that I think he could sell it to Van Dijk as he's going to come here as a kind of key figure, the player that he's going to build his defence around. And I think if you look at the likes of Chelsea, Man City, they've already got a lot of very strong centre-halves. Obviously, City have spent a lot of money in recent seasons, the likes of John Stones. They've obviously got Kompany there, Otamendi as well. And then Chelsea, obviously, their defence was excellent this season. And for Liverpool, that's the main area we've got to improve in. So having someone like Van Dijk to come in, if we could sell it to him as like, he's the player we're going to build our defence around for the next few seasons. If we can get that Champions League secured in a qualifier, obviously we can sell that as well. So personally, I'm quietly confident it's not going to be easy, but I really think this is one we need to get over the line.
Yeah, I completely agree. So you're in the school of thought that the Echo will be right in terms of the reports they've said this morning. Van Dijk would be interested in joining Liverpool because of Klopp's vision for the club. They seem to be convinced that the financial aspect won't be the sole reason that he picks his future on. Is that the type of player that we want at Liverpool?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's massive for Klopp, but he doesn't want any players coming here who are just coming because we're going to pay more money than anyone else. It's got to be about them wanting to come to Liverpool as a club and being excited about the project and the vision for what lies ahead. I think there's also an element of being pragmatic about it. Obviously, there are other big clubs. Man City and Chelsea have got a track record of winning trophies in recent years. Liverpool don't. And that's something we need to change, obviously. But I think, yeah, you would hope with not only Van Dijk, but all the players we're looking at this summer, that they're not going to just pick Liverpool because we offer more money than a rival club. Obviously, the owners are going to have to go big to get a player like Van Dijk. He's one of the best defenders in the Premier League. There's loads of competition. But I think, yeah, we don't want players who are just coming here because we're offering the same or more than Man City. I think there's got to be an element of this is Liverpool, this is what Klopp's selling, and they want to be a part of that.
Well, interesting that you've mentioned wages there, Joel.
Wages seems to be a stumbling block, according to some. Yet others claim that Liverpool are willing to outbid anybody to get Van Dijk's signature. One thing many Liverpool-based journalists are certain on is that Van Dijk is convinced he wants to work with Jurgen Klopp. Sam, do you feel that Van Dijk would prefer to work with Jurgen Klopp, given the choice?
Well, look, you've got the choice of three really good managers there, haven't you? Let's be honest. I mean, you've got Pep Guardiola, who, let's be honest, most people in Europe or indeed world football would love to play for. You've got Antonio Conte, who has just masterminded a title victory, 93 points, a ridiculous team. And you've got Klopp, who's obviously done very well with Liverpool, would also be great to work for. So I wouldn't suggest it's a case of he much prefers one over the other three because they're all brilliant. I mean, who wouldn't want to work for any of those three guys? I don't think it will come down to that for him.
So Rob, can you give us a bit of background to Virgil van Dijk's career so far?
Yeah, so born in Breda in the Netherlands, Virgil van Dijk had an interesting journey to marshalling Southampton's defence. He started his career at nearby Willem II, but moved to Groningen after just one season on a free transfer. After taking some time to bed in, manager Pieter Huistra recognised his talent and stood by him, and he played the 19-year-old 23 times in his first full season.
He managed to establish himself in the first 11, and in his second full season at Groningen, he made 37 appearances in all, impressing many, and Celtic came calling. In the summer of 2013, the Scottish Giants paid £2.6 million for the big Dutchman's services, and two titles in two seasons in Scotland followed. Van Dijk's meteoric rise really didn't look like slowing down at that stage, and his performance has got him selected in the team of the season in Scotland, and interest came from all around Europe. Southampton managed to snag his signature and made a substantial £13 million layout on him in September 2015. There's often been a perception that some players coming from the Scottish League struggle in England. However, Van Dijk looked completely at ease with the standard of the Premier League from the very start, proving a very capable replacement after the loss of Dejan Lovren in the previous season to Liverpool. A month into his Southampton career, and the Dutch national team came calling too, and he nailed down a place in the Oranje squad. Since then, he's made 12 appearances. Van Dijk has gained critical acclaim from the best in the game, with former Liverpool favourite Jamie Carragher claiming he looks like he has absolutely everything. One thing is for sure, they won't want to lose him, and they won't let him go on the cheap.
Okay, so having already signed Dejan Lovren from Southampton, the majority of fans expect that Van Dijk will take his place in Liverpool's first choice 11. Sam, what makes Van Dijk different to Lovren or to any other Liverpool centre-backs in general?
Well, one of the most resounding features of Van Dijk's game is that he basically doesn't make errors. And it's very rare to see that. I'm sure I do not need to remind Liverpool fans of the many errors that Dejan Lovren has committed or has made this season. And the one that immediately springs to mind is when he just decided not to mark his man at the corner against West Ham. And somehow Andre Ayew hit the post twice in quick succession and Simon Mignolet saved it. So those kind of things that you see under Lovren and you're just not surprised by with Lovren, you never get with Van Dijk. He is able to wrap up strikers 1v1 so well. Again, two that spring to mind, Jamie Vardy against Leicester, and Mauro Icardi twice against Inter. Now, I went to both of the games that Southampton played against Inter this season, out to the San Siro and at St Mary's as well, and Van Dijk was the best player on the pitch on both occasions. Rarely have I seen Mauro Icardi just not really get a kick. So that kind of dominant performance, that kind of leading, commanding performance is what you get from Van Dijk, and it's just not what you get from Lovren.
I'm sure the majority of Liverpool fans will agree with that.
So the Southampton manager, Claude Puel, has referred to Van Dijk as the captain before, but as a nickname, he's not actually the club captain. He says that he has authority and leadership in the way that he plays the game. Joel, is that something that Liverpool lack, especially in defence?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. This Liverpool team for a while now has not had any kind of really obvious natural leaders. I think Henderson's really grown into the captain's role this season, but obviously he's missed pretty much half the games. Obviously, before Christmas, he was doing really well there. And that new holding midfield position looked really natural fit, and he was leading the team well. Obviously, you've got Milner, his experienced player, but he's not exactly, you don't get the impression he's a really vocal presence on the pitch. And I think in defence, in terms of lots of the goals we've conceded this season have just been a case of poor organisation, a lack of communication at the back. And you look at players like Klein, Lovren, Matip, they're all kind of fairly good players, but you don't get the impression neither of them are a leader as such. People have spoken about Lovren, especially when we signed him, coming in as a leader. But I don't really think that's turned out to be the case. So obviously, he's improved massively under Klopp. And I wouldn't get rid of him this summer. I'd still keep him as a squad player. But in terms of leadership, he's one who seems to kind of make rash decisions and get nervous on big occasions every so often. And Matip, it's obviously difficult to say, but he doesn't look like a particularly vocal type. So I think, yeah, bringing a player in who's kind of commanding and has a real voice at the back, someone who's not afraid to kind of shout at their teammates, tell them where to be, and just organise a defence, would be something as well. Obviously, he's a great player, in terms of technical ability and what he could offer there, but also just having a leader like that at the back, especially obviously Mignolet's improved as well and he's become more commanding, but he's also not the most authoritative goalkeeper you could have. So having that player at the back, even if he's not the captain as such, like you say with Puel, if he's a voice on the pitch and someone can kind of organise a back four by himself, that's a huge attribute, which would make him even more attractive as a proposition.
It seems Van Dijk has many positive attributes as a player, Statistically, what has stood out for you in his game the most, Rob? What do you think?
Yeah, so at 25, he stands at 6'4", which often towers over his teammates and opponents alike. But not only does Virgil van Dijk have the most aerial duels won in the Premier League, he actually averages more than any centre-back in Europe's top five leagues. It's quite staggering if you think about it. He averages 4.7 per game. We all know there's more to a defender's game, though, than just aerial ability. And that's not all he has to his game. He's been dribbled past 10th least per game of any defender in the Premier League, with 0.3, and 6th in the Premier League for interceptions per game, with 2.6 on average. Liverpool have often relied on centre-backs to start attacks when teams have sat back deep. So it's also important that the centre-back can pass and move the ball. We've seen that a lot with Joel Matip this season. Well, Virgil van Dijk has 16th most successful dribbles in the Premier League of all defenders, 0.4 per game, and is dispossessed 4th least in the league, with 0.1 times per game on average. So it seems on the face of it that he's pretty smart with possession. Van Dijk isn't perfect, however, and he has the 8th most inaccurate short passes of all defenders in the league, with 4.6 per game. But it has to be said, he's confident on the ball, and he likes it at his feet. Southampton often don't have the space that Liverpool centre-backs do to dictate the game, and often when you're a ball-playing centre-back, you're just going to have quite a few passes that don't make their targets. It's the nature of the position. One thing's for sure, Virgil van Dijk seems to have everything that a centre-back needs to have.
Just moving on to a topic I want to touch on about other clubs or our rivals in the transfer window.
The transfer window hasn't opened yet, and one of Liverpool's rivals, Man City, have moved to sign Monaco's Bernardo Silva and goalkeeper from Benfica, Ederson. It seemed that they weren't even in the press for a day before they actually were signed and in the kit ready to play. So I think Liverpool fans have often felt a little bit grieved by this. They often have to listen about their top transfer targets being drawn out throughout the press. It's been known for quite some time now that Naby Keita and Virgil van Dijk have been the top targets for Klopp this summer. Yet it takes us a long time to get the transfers over the line. Joel, do you think Liverpool fans have a right to feel a bit aggrieved about this? I think fans often miss the way that we did it last summer, where the likes of Jorginho Wijnaldum was reported and then signed within a couple of days. Do you agree with fans that believe that that would be the better way to do deals?
Yeah, massively. And I think in terms of kind of publicity and the image that it presents, it's obviously not a great thing when you make your priority targets so well known in the press. And then if you don't follow that up and get the deals done, it doesn't really reflect that well on the club. And we've had it a few times over the past few seasons and even more recently. I know it's slightly different situations, but someone like Julian Brandt, for example, was supposedly Klopp's number one target. And he said that he doesn't want to come here unless he's guaranteed regular first team football. And obviously that's a slightly different thing to kind of not getting a deal done because of wages or transfer fee. But it's still something that frustrates the fans because we're looking forward to this exciting talent. And then suddenly he's no longer a target and you hear that the interest is cooled. That's the phrase that they often use. And we've seen it again. Lots of fans want a new left back this summer, including me. I think Milner's done quite well this season. But long term, I think we need a proper left-footed left-back there, not a 32-year-old, 31-year-old midfielder who obviously doesn't even want to be playing there himself in the long run. I think that's something to consider. So, yeah, Ryan Sessegnon, for the last few weeks, has been named as kind of Klopp's number one left-back target. I think he scored 7 or 8 goals from left-back in the Championship for Fulham this season. Still very young. He's only 17, I think. Very highly rated prospect, and lots of fans are excited about being linked with him. And then recently, news has come out that Liverpool are no longer interested in him because Spurs are now kind of expected to get that one done. So it doesn't look great. And I think if you look at something like last summer when a deal like Wijnaldum basically came out of pretty much nothing, we'd hardly been linked, if at all, throughout the summer. And then within a couple of days, the interest broke and then a deal was done. And I think that's actually something we're probably going to see a bit more of this summer. We've actually seen it already with one player, Dominic Solanke. I know he's hardly a big name, but that sort of pretty much came out of nowhere. There have been a few whispers that we've been kind of linked to him over the past few months, but nothing saying that any kind of signing was imminent. And then in the morning, news came out that we were interested, and by the afternoon, we'd signed him officially. So I think Yeah, in terms of the likes of Van Dijk and Naby Keita, who've been made quite clear they're Klopp's two main targets this summer, that's a little bit of a concern, because once you make it public, you want to get the deals done. You don't want to be looking at, you're missing out to your rivals. But I also think something Liverpool fans should remember is that there will be players that we do sign this summer, I'm almost certain, that haven't been named yet, and it will come out of nowhere quite quickly. So that's definitely something to kind of bear in mind. I think we've had it not only recently, but also the likes of Firmino. I remember when we got him, that was very quick. It was a matter of days, really, that the interest broke and a deal was done. So I think you've got to remember, just because names aren't being thrown out right now, doesn't mean that we're not going to be signing certain players, and things can change very quickly.
Liverpool have been hampered with injuries to key players throughout the last few seasons, and that's evident at centre-back, where Joel Matip and Dejan Lovren missed 22 games between them with injuries last season. So you'd think that surely Virgil van Dijk was the main target. He's not going to be injury prone. Well, this season he's missed the entire second half of the Premier League with a malleolar injury. But he's almost back in full training. That's a pretty serious injury, but previous to that, van Dijk had only missed one game with a knock at Celtic, and that was in 2 years, and seven games in 2 years at Groningen, having his appendix out. So really, that's not too bad. He seems to be, fingers crossed, not too injury prone. Let's hope that Liverpool don't change that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've been saying a few times, I think this summer we've got to be quite careful about who we buy, in terms of, I don't really want to see us bring in any real kind of injury prone players as such, just because we've seen the effect it's had this season. Our squad's been decimated by injury. Some of it's been unlucky. The Coutinho injury was obviously a really long one for him, missed a couple of months, a bit longer than that, and that was just an unfortunate knock. Can happen to any player. And then the same thing with Mane and the Derby, as just an unfortunate knee injury, which has happened purely coincidentally. There's nothing kind of injury prone about that. It's not like pulling a muscle, but something especially at centre back we've struggled with throughout this season is Lovren and Matip. They've actually done quite well as a partnership when they've been fit. It just hasn't been often enough. Lovren seems to miss a game pretty regularly, whether it's a knock or illness or whatever. There always seems to be a reason. And then Matip's got this ongoing kind of ankle problem, which he carried through pre-season, and it's kind of been on and off throughout this season. So I think what Klopp needs is a centre-back partnership he can trust to play pretty much all the league games they can and be available for a whole season. And in terms of Van Dijk, from what I've read, his injury record before Southampton and up until this season is actually pretty good, much better than the current defenders we have. So that's a positive. Obviously, his current injury is a concern. I believe it was a foot ligament injury or something like that. So he's missed pretty much all the second half of the season, which obviously isn't great. You'd hope, from what I've seen, he's kind of nearing a return to full training. So you'd hope that if we did get him in, he'd be back fit again for pre-season and he'd be in shape to start the new campaign. But obviously, as is the case of any long-term injury, you can't tell how a player's going to respond if they're going to come back in the same form. I think there's something like that seems to be pretty much a one-off thing. It was just an unfortunate injury. It wasn't a recurrence of a kind of previous problem or a repeating pattern that he's had before. But you hope that it's just a kind of isolated incident and he get over it. So personally, with Van Dijk, that's not something that bothers me too much. It's more in terms of other players. You talk about the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's had a kind of, throughout his whole career, he's struggled with injury, missed huge chunks of every season. That's something I'd definitely factor in when we're looking at targets this summer.
So Southampton are understandably reluctant to sell Virgil. They must be sick of Liverpool raiding their fines, to be honest. But fees of around 50, 60, even £70 million have been quoted. What do you think Southampton would realistically accept for him? And is there a stigma at Southampton that may make them not want to sell to Liverpool again?
To be honest, I think probably a little bit too much is made of Southampton's possible reluctance to sell to Liverpool. Because, look, in football, if the price is right, you sell. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if the managers are best friends. It doesn't matter if the clubs have a good relationship or not. It's just a case of, if the money's right, the deal is done. So I don't think Southampton would have a particular issue selling to Liverpool if they offered the correct amount of money in their estimations. And I think the correct amount of money in this instance, from Southampton's point of view, is going to be between 50 and 60 million pounds. So if you look at John Stones last season, he went for 50 or 47.5, rising to 50 if you want to be specific. That was last season. Again, taking inflation into account, taking the prize money of the Premier League, taking just that natural rise in price changes. And you've probably got yourself a deal of about 50 to 60 million. The one thing about John Stones is, of course, is that he was English. So the homegrown quota for Man City was lacking. So it's probably an extra tax on that. But Van Dijk, I think, for Southampton is going to be a 50, 60 million guy. I think if you offered them somewhere in that range, they would say yes. I don't think you need to get to 70.
Yeah, I think that was something to do with they owe 5% of the transfer fee to Celtic, or...
Yeah, they probably owe 5% to Celtic. I mean, every club always owes 10 or 5% to somebody or other. So they're probably just trying to make that back. But look, it's still going to be quite a lot of money regardless.
Van Dijk isn't the only centre-back that Liverpool have been linked to. Names like Kalidou Koulibaly and Michael Keane have been linked quite frequently. Sam, how does Van Dijk compare to the alternatives on the transfer market? And are there any players that Liverpool should turn to if they miss out on Van Dijk?
Well, Michael Keane and Kalidou Koulibaly are two very different players. So, I mean, they're both centre-backs, obviously, but stylistically there are some serious differences between those two guys. So perhaps that's just paper talk, or perhaps it's a case of it's a kind of a scattergun approach from Liverpool in terms of we need someone, let's have a look at these three guys. Koulibaly's a monstrous player. I mean, if you've taken in Napoli this season, he's a strange blend of... He's obviously a beast-like centre-back, very powerful, very physical, very strong and fast. But also, Napoli's build-up play from the back this season has been probably unrivaled across Europe. And Koulibaly has been part of that. So he ticks a lot of boxes, because not only is he defensively very strong, he's also very good on the ball and in tight spaces as well. Michael Keane, big questions on him. Plays in a very defensive system at Burnley, which some people will think, well, how does that translate to a system such as Liverpool's? And we've only really got one game to judge him on there, which is the England game he played in a back three, which, he, to be fair, he was very good, and it was against Germany, but that's 90 minutes. Anything else, anyone that can say Keane can definitely play a higher line is... Yeah, they're jumping to conclusions a little bit. So it's interesting, like Van Dijk, which is essentially the best of both worlds, is linked, and then as a second option, you get one who's exceptional at this and one who's exceptional at that, but of the three, I would take Van Dijk. To be honest, in terms of others, I haven't given it that much thought. As a non-Liverpool fan, I haven't really thought about it. I'm just waiting to see how Van Dijk, whether or not he leaves, basically.
And how about you, Joel?
I mean, personally, I haven't watched loads of Serie A this season. I've seen Koulibaly a few times for Napoli, playing in Europe and that. And from everything I've read and from the clips I have seen, he looks a very good player. A lot of pace. Good on the ball, strong in the air, so all the attributes that you'd want in a centre back. And I'm not entirely sure, but from what I've seen so far, I reckon we could probably get him for a slightly smaller fee than Van Dijk, probably more around 40 million than 50 or 60. So there's obviously that to consider. And I think if we do miss out on Van Dijk, that will be a big disappointment, because he's been made quite clear he is the priority. If we could then go to someone like Koulibaly and get that done, then that's not too much of a problem. So whether we could actually go and basically get our second choice straight away, and as we've seen in the past, it's not always that simple. You don't just miss out on your first one and go and get the second choice straight away. So we'd have to be quite kind of forceful on that, and quite focused to get that one done if we do miss out on Van Dijk, which hopefully we don't. As for Michael Keane, obviously I've seen a lot more of him in the Premier League this season. I'm personally not that convinced, only because there's a massive difference in the way teams like Burnley play football and teams like Liverpool play football. I think Keane's a good player. I'm just not convinced that he's a massive upgrade on what we've currently got in terms of Matip and Lovren. I think he'd probably do well. He's obviously been linked to Man United as well. I think he'd do well in a more defensively set up side, where they've got more protection from the midfield, and they don't play as open or as expansive as Liverpool do, because that's structurally, that's just something that happens. The way we play football, the centre-backs get exposed more often, they have to take more risks, and they don't get quite as much protection from the midfield, because we don't play with an out-and-out defensive midfielder. So I think in terms of kind of quality on the ball, playing out from the back, he's probably not quite at the level of players like Koulibaly or Van Dijk. I think in the air, dealing with set pieces, he's very strong, but I think what's imperative in all positions, not just centre back this summer, is that Liverpool go out and buy players that are going to come in and immediately improve the quality in the starting 11. So I think someone like Van Dijk would definitely do that. I think Koulibaly would be an upgrade on Lovren also. Personally, I don't think Michael Keane would be necessarily, and for the money we'd pay, being an English player and that as well, I think there's probably better value players out there if we do miss out on Van Dijk. I personally wouldn't be too pleased with someone like Keane coming in as a first-choice player.
So Southampton lost one of the long-standing centre-backs in José Font to West Ham recently, and with Van Dijk's injury, they've had to turn to out-of-favour Maya Yoshida and previously untested academy graduate Jack Stevens. Have Southampton been linked to any players as a replacement at centre-back?
I haven't seen that many, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think any at all. It's a case of the headlines very much being dominated by Virgil van Dijk and his will-he-won't-he move to one of these three clubs. And it's a case of Southampton seemingly sat there thinking, all right, well, let's see how this plays out. Let's work out. I mean, yeah, remember that Southampton will already have a list of 20 or 30 centre-backs that can replace Virgil van Dijk, probably not like for like in terms of quality, but will do so to the benefit of the style of the team. Their much revered kind of black box situation that they've got with a ridiculous amount of talent in the scouting department. They already have a list of guys that they know they can buy. So they haven't, I haven't seen any links. I mean, centre back isn't the only concern for Southampton. I have seen murmurs of a new right back and a new striker, because there are other areas for Southampton to address. So we'll see what they do if Van Dijk ends up leaving. But I haven't actually seen any players linked to the club as a replacement yet, because they don't know how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, and I suppose that the earlier the deal gets done, the longer it gives Southampton to replace him. But Southampton are usually pretty good at signing players, better than Liverpool have been anyway.
Right, so we'll now look at how likely it is that the transfer may happen. With Liverpool getting the Champions League, surely we'll make it a little bit more realistic. Joel, do you think that the transfer will happen? And what would you rate it out of 10 in terms of likeliness this summer?
I think in terms of Champions League, Klopp's going to want to get his players in before pre-season, ideally, especially given that Van Dijk's his main target. He's not going to want to wait until any Champions League qualifier or anything like that. So I think in terms of that one, it's one we're going to have to try and get over the line pretty soon if we want to, given the competition from Chelsea and Man City. I think in terms of the transfer fee, we'll have no problem matching the other clubs. It's whether FSG are willing to compromise on their usual wage structure and match their rivals on that. In terms of the vision that Klopp can sell, I'm pretty confident that he can convince Van Dijk that this is something he wants to be a part of, that he can build his defence around him for the next few seasons. So personally, I'm quietly optimistic we can get it done. I wouldn't say it's a banker by any means, because he's obviously extremely highly rated and wanted by our rival clubs. At the moment, I would go with 6 out of 10 in terms of it happening. And I think the most important thing as well is to ensure that we've got really high quality backups if we don't get our number one target, as too often in recent seasons, we've often missed out on a first choice and doesn't seem to be a plan in place. So I think, yeah, 6 out of 10 at the moment, I would hope we can get it done. But if we don't, we need to have a contingency plan in place to get another top quality centre-back this summer.
With Liverpool getting the Champions League, surely that makes this transfer more likely. Sam, do you think that this transfer will happen? And what would you rate it out of 10 in terms of likeliness this summer?
Well, I think with Chelsea and City in the market for them as well, Liverpool, they had to get Champions League to stand a chance of getting Van Dijk, because then, if not, you're a Europa League side coming up against two Champions League sides for the same player. And we know exactly how that goes. Liverpool have fallen victim to that a couple of times over the last few seasons, I'm sure. I think Van Dijk will leave. I think he will go. I think someone will end up paying between 50 and 60 million for him, and Southampton will say goodbye. Reluctantly, of course, because they love him. He was their captain after José Font left. The fans adore him. They've got several songs dedicated to him, and they sorely, sorely missed him when he ducked out injured after the January transfer window had just finished, which is football's version of cruel luck, isn't it? To be honest, I don't think he'll end up at Liverpool. It is only a hunch. I can't say for certain, and I can't tell you this is happening or that is happening, but I think he will go to Chelsea. I think I would give Chelsea the edge in this chase because they'd be willing to pay it. It's a more obvious position of need, because I don't understand why Dejan Lovren was given 100 grand a week, but maybe Liverpool just aren't as worried about that situation in central defence as Chelsea are. So I think he'll go to Chelsea if I had to pick one of the three clubs. But it'd be interesting because all three have extremely good offers for him and can offer Champions League football, can offer a first choice spot and can offer him a hell of a wage. So, I mean, put yourself in Van Dijk's position for a second. What a great summer he's got going for him. He can just pick between Conte, Pep and Klopp.
So out of 10, what would you give it?
As a potential move for Liverpool, I would probably give it a 6, just because the price is getting a little bit high considering what Liverpool may be amenable to spending. And I think I really feel like that Chelsea offer is probably more alluring than the Liverpool one. And sorry for that one. Don't shoot me on that one.
Interesting. What about you, Dan?
In my opinion, I will give it a 5, to be honest. I think the amount of money that Southampton is demanding for Van Dijk is way too much. And I think the competition out there in the Premier League is massive. The financial competition, to be honest. I think Klopp is a genius in attracting players for a cheaper price. We already know that. I think he can find up to 2, even 3 players for them for that amount of money. And that I'm pretty sure that they will be at that level as well. So we'll see what happens. What about you, Rob? Give us your ratings. What do you think?
Wow, 2 5s and a 6. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic. This is definitely somebody that Liverpool are interested in. It's somebody that we've made contact with Southampton over. And the only real downside to things is that there have been various reports in the press lately saying that Liverpool may struggle to match the fees of Man City and maybe Chelsea. But other reputable papers, The Echo, have said that that's not true and we would actually match what they bid. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I really think this is going to happen. I'm going to stay in the optimistic mode. And I would really like to see a quality defender like Virgil van Dijk try and shore up our defence that's been calamitous for quite a few years now. Well, that concludes the third edition of the LFC Transferring Podcast. I hope you found it informative and keep checking out our channel. There's some more content coming on the way. The fourth edition will be about Mohamed Salah. So from me, Dan, Sam and Joel, it's goodbye. Network.